Well, it's so good to see you today. Welcome to the Edge Church. Another exciting day. And this morning, we want to continue the series that we began several weeks ago as we've been talking about how God is enough to meet every need in our life. And over the last few weeks, we've looked at how God is enough to meet a number of needs. But today, we want to turn our attention to God meeting our emotional needs. You know, one of the number one emotional needs that we have is the problem of fear. And the 23rd Psalm that we've been walking through each week speaks specifically about the problem of fear. And listen, God doesn't want us to live lives dominated by fear. In fact, fear can be one of the most crippling and destroying aspects of our own lives. And God wants us to learn to live lives of faith and lives of freedom. And so today we need to turn our attention to these important scriptures from the 23rd Psalm. But you know, we see fear everywhere that we turn. Everywhere we go, there are people that are afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid for our kids' safety. We're afraid for our safety. And everywhere we look, there's video cameras. I mean, I'm telling you, you can't go anywhere anymore without video cameras. They're on the roads, and they're at the stores, and they're at the airport, and everywhere you go, you're constantly on videotape. Metal detectors. I mean, metal detectors are everywhere. In fact, not too long ago, Gina and I were going to one of our favorite clothing stores, and we walked in, and usually you set the metal detector off as you're leaving. We set it off as we were walking in, and I thought, well, I'm just going to, you know, kind of step over here and act like it's Gina, you know, that set it off. So we both walked in, and I kind of turned around and looked at her like this. And the store manager came running up to Gina, and he said, "Ma'am, what do you have in your purse that has set off the alarm?" And Gina just looked at him and just was kind of puzzled. I mean, she was like, "Well, I don't know." And she opened her purse. And this manager, who was a man, started looking in Gina's purse. I mean, it was kind of uncomfortable. He was really, really concerned. And we finally convinced him that Gina was not a terrorist, okay? And after that, we walked around the store, but he continued to follow us. I mean, everywhere we went, he was looking wherever we were going. It was just a few days before that Gina was bragging about how she had never set off a metal detector in her whole life. And interestingly enough, we were at the airport just a few days later. And we were, you know, getting ready to go through the security checkpoint and took all of our stuff off. And I said, "You forgot your shoes." And she said, "No, I'm going to wear my shoes." She said, "You know, it's not going to set them off." And I was like, "No, the shoes will get you every time. Take the shoes off." And I said, "We're in a hurry. We're going to miss our flight if you get into some, you know, shakedown over here. So just take your shoes off." She said, "No, I'm going to wear my shoes." I was, "All right." So she goes through the alarm. Sure enough, she sets it off. And they bring her over to the side. They used to get a bonus round. Okay, back in the good old days when you went to the airport, if you set it off one time, you got to go back through another time to see if you could make it through the second time. They don't give you the bonus round anymore. And so they have Jean off the side. They're asking her all these questions. They're doing the scanner. They're patting her down or whatever. It turned out that one of the eyelets on her tennis shoe was made of die-cast metal, and it had set off the whole thing. You know, we almost missed our flight today that day because of the security checkpoint issues we were having with the security guard. But we live in a place dominated by fear, and God doesn't want us to live that way. God wants us to live in confidence and in faith, and that's why today what we're going to talk about is so important. Now they say that Evel Knievel, the stuntster, I mean, the guy that used to jump motorcycles over buildings and trucks and all kinds of other stuff, they said he was afraid to get on an airplane. I don't know how you'd be afraid to get on an airplane, but you could fly through the air on a motorcycle. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. They say that Sigmund Freud, the father of psychoanalysis, feared trains. Alfred Hitchcock feared policemen. They say that Augustus Caesar was afraid of the dark. You know, every single one of us has our own set of fears. There are things that we fear that are unique to us. We may have fear for our family or fear for our future or fear. The fear of failure is a big fear that we experience. The fear of God, the fear of whatever. You could fill in the blank. Every one of us has a customized set of fears based on our life experiences and the things that we've been through. But God wants to show us today that we can always trust the shepherd when we are consumed by fear. Let's look at these scriptures today, Psalm 23, 1 through 4. I'll read the verses for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23, 1 through 4. See, fear inevitably is about the loss of control. We're afraid that if we lose control of that situation, that it won't turn out the way that we want it to, and thus we fear. And fear can cripple our emotions, our spiritual life, and every arena of life. What does God want us to do to begin to walk in victory over the fear that consumes us? The Bible tells us, first of all, don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid of the dark. Notice it says here in verse 4 of the 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Don't be afraid of the times of darkness. Now, you know, what's interesting is this valley of the shadow of death that the 23rd Psalm references is an actual place in Israel. It's a place in between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And they say that this narrow, narrow canyon is only a few inches across in its most narrow parts, but it's a place that's consumed with darkness, and only at high noon does light penetrate this valley. It's a creepy place. It's a scary place. It's a place of fear. It was a place that the ancient reader would immediately associate with darkness and fears and phobias and difficulties and all kinds of dark experiences. And there's times in our lives when we walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness or of death. I mean, there's times when we just have periods in our life where life is difficult and it's hard. There's other times when we walk on the tops of mountains, and that's a whole nother experience. But the psalmist says here, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though you may be in a really, really dark time, God and his presence is with us. And the phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, could also be translated the valley of deep darkness. And you know, we walk in deep darkness. There's times when we make decisions that lead us into dark times in our lives, and then sometimes dark things just happen to us. I mean, they're not things that are a result of things that we did that are wrong. It's just the way that circumstances worked out, or just what happened, or maybe even something that somebody else did to us. You know, it's interesting, in verse 3, the scripture talks about he guides me in paths of righteousness, and it talks about green pastures and being beside quiet waters, you know, the tranquil times. And then it's also contrasted here in verse 4 where the scripture talks about the valley of darkness, the valley of deep darkness. And sometimes we live on the mountaintop and sometimes we live in the valley. And David, the author here of the 23rd Psalm, man, there were some times in his life when it was sunny. There were times when he was anointed king of Israel. There were times when he defeated Goliath in battle. There were times when he won strategic battles, but there were also a lot of dark times in the life of King David. David's life, even though he was a man after God's own heart, he walked in a lot of darkness. His first child died shortly after childbirth. The Bible tells us there was a major conflict in the family of David. In fact, his son Absalom killed his other son Amon, because Amon had raped David's daughter Tamar. So Amon had raped his sister, and then the other brother killed the brother that raped his sister. I mean, you want to talk about putting the dis in function. This was a whacked out, crazy family. And David walked through all of that. King Saul tried to murder him when David was anointed to be the successor, the following king. David went through a lot of periods in his life that life was hard. And he walked through the deep, dark times of his life, but he never lost faith and he never failed to realize that the presence of God was with him. You know, I love times of darkness, not because they're fun or not because they're pleasurable, but they force me to focus on the light. Several years ago, I was getting ready to take Gina on a special anniversary date. It was one of those moments that you just, as a guy, you don't want to mess up those special anniversaries. And so I gathered my staff together and I said, guys, look, I need a really romantic, really great date idea. Gina and I have been married this many years. I gotta bring it. I mean, this has got to be a good one. And I just need some help. So my staff said, all right, well, let's take a few minutes. So we had a brainstorming session. I had five people. We were all writing down ideas. The consensus of the group was that I should take Gina camping. Now, I'm really not sure to this day why we went camping. I don't even like camping. I know that I live in the state of Colorado, but, you know, my idea of camping is like Motel 6, like Tom Baudet, you know? That's enough camping for me. I don't like sleeping on the ground. That's not good with me. Somehow my staff convinced me I needed to take Gina camping. And so I got all fired up about this. I never camp, but I went to Academy and I spent $150 on all the camping paraphernalia. I had all the cups and the plates and the pans and the dishes and the little chairs that fold out. I mean, I was ready to go and I was going to surprise her. And I was so excited about this special date. And I picked out this special place we were going to go camping and it was going to be really awesome. Well, we got a late start. And unfortunately, we arrived at the campsite after it was pitch dark. I mean, total darkness. And it's really hard. First of all, when you never go camping, you don't even know how to put a tent up. And you're feeling around in the dark trying to put the tent together. Well, the problem was the tent was broken. And a friend of mine had loaned it to me, and he didn't tell me that one of the support beams, there was only two, but one of the support beams was completely broken and they had tried to duct tape it. But when you set the tent up, it laid over on the side, you know, and I mean, it was a mess. And so here I am really wanting to make a good impression on my wife, and I've got the special anniversary, you know, type celebration that we're supposed to be having a great time and everything's supposed to be going perfect, and I can't get the tent up. And so I went into MacGyver mode and I thought, I have got to fix this thing. I was bound to determine we were going to have a tent. So I started going around to the other campsites and asking for some assistance. I finally had an older man that gave me some duct tape and some rope. And I found a tree. And I was able to duct tape and rope that tent close enough to the tree where it would stand up by itself. I was feeling very accomplished. Right after that, I realized we needed a campfire because we needed to eat. And we had a bunch of hot dog weenies and we were going to have a cookout and whatever. And I didn't have any firewood, and this was like a really, you know, nice camping place. There wasn't a lot of dead wood around. The only tree limbs that I could find were ones that, you know, I had pulled off the tree. And, I mean, you know that if you just have a green piece of wood, it doesn't light very well. And so I didn't have any paper, so I couldn't get the fire started, you know, and I would finally get maybe a little spark, and the wind would come blow it out, and we must have been at the top of a hill or something because the wind just kept blowing and blowing and blowing. And so the fire was a mess. And I thought, you know, what are we going to do? You know, I mean, here this is supposed to be a special opportunity, a special date and anniversary. And so I went to my ace in the hole. One of my staff members had told me to go buy one of the star watching books. And so I bought this whole book and it had all the constellations in it. And it was really amazing being in the depth of this river valley, the darkness that was around us, because you could see the constellations in the darkness so much more than you could in the city. And it was amazing. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most incredible days that we've had as we were going through and looking at all the constellations in the sky and looking at them in the book. And we had the best time ever. And you know, we had such a good time that we forgot about the tent and we forgot about the campfire and we forgot about going camping. And we didn't even think about going to Motel 6 because we were having such a great time looking at the light in the darkness. You know, when I think about that experience, I think about how when we walk through those times of deep darkness, it's in those moments that the light pops and we run to the light. You know, the light is the presence of God. We see our need for God in times of darkness. When everything is sunny and happy outside, sometimes we forget about our need. We forget about how God is with us, and we feel self-sufficient, and we don't see that we really need Him or are dependent on Him. But the moment that we begin to walk in the valley of deep darkness, the light begins to seem so much more powerful, doesn't it? So that's why we don't have to be afraid of the valley of deep darkness. Because when we are in darkness, we look to the light, which is the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of the dark. You know, you think about how highways are cut through the mountains. The other day we went on a trip to Breckenridge to a pastor's conference, and I was just sitting there looking at the beauty of the Rocky Mountains, and you know, it's just interesting. The roads that go through the mountains don't go from peak to peak. You know, you don't drive straight up the cleft of a mountain and then straight down. No, the roads through the mountains weave through the valleys. And if you want to get to the top of the mountain, you got to go to the valley first. And you follow that path along the valley, and then eventually you can ascend to the top of the mountain. But oftentimes we want to go from mountaintop to mountaintop, but in reality, to get to the top, we got to start in the valley. And listen, some of the most valuable lessons that we'll ever learn about God will come in the times of the greatest darkness. So I'll say that as a word of encouragement to you today. If you're looking at your life and your circumstances and you just see darkness all around you and frustration and pain and difficulties, remember this, that it's in those moments that the light stands out the most. The Bible tells us that we don't have to be afraid of the dark, but we also ought to be aware of God's presence. See, the reason that we are not afraid of the dark is because the presence of God is with us. The presence of God. Notice the scripture here. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? For you are with me. You are with me. The presence of God is not something that is related to a location or a circumstance. I mean, man, the moment you follow Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God comes into your life, you take Him with you everywhere you go. And you may not be around any other person. And you may be in the depths of despair, but you can still know that the presence of God is with you. You know, sometimes the presence of God is the very thing that sustains us and empowers us, keeps us focused and going. And I know it in some of the darkest times of my own life that it's been the presence of God with me that has given me the strength to take another step and to go another day and to keep moving and keep moving. There's just something awesome and powerful. And you know, sometimes it's even hard to put it into words, the power of the presence of God. But God is with us. Now, sometimes we leave the Lord, but isn't it great to know that God doesn't leave us? I mean, the moment that we join the family of God, we're on God's team, and we join God's family, and God is with us. And the presence of God is the very thing that helps us to get through the valley of deep darkness. It's a powerful thing. Last year, I buried my father, and that was a really tough funeral, really hard time. You know, it was powerful, though, because my brother was sitting right there next to me. And I'll tell you, there wasn't really anybody else in the room that I felt like could. I had Gina on one side and my brother on the other side. And Gina hasn't lost her father. And she was very supportive and very empathetic. But she had not really been, she hasn't been there, you know, before. I really felt like my brother was the only person that really knew how I felt. And we talked and we spent some really good time together. And you know, his presence there was a source of strength and encouragement to me. And I'm really thankful for that. It was really an awesome time for us to spend together. But, you know, compared to the presence of God, the presence of a person is related to, you know, time and space and whatever else. Here's the amazing thing about the presence of God. We can walk with God all the time. You know, at the end of this funeral, my brother had to go back to his home in Houston, Texas. I came back here. But you know what? The presence of God was always with me. And you know, it doesn't matter if it's 3 a.m. or 10 p.m. or 12 noon or what the time is or where you are. Man, when you join the family of God, the presence of God is with you. And He's the force that begins to sustain us and to drive us. The presence of the shepherd leading and directing us is the thing that helps us to overcome the fear. But if you don't know that God's with you, then you are going to be fearful. You are going to be afraid. But in the presence of God, that fear begins to get stamped out. And maybe you've never really made that faith commitment to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never said yes to Him. Maybe you've never joined God's family. And this morning, you want to say, man, you know, I want to cross the line of faith. I want to move from being a spectator and hearing about God to knowing God personally in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end of our service today, to say, man, I want God to be my shepherd. I want Him to be the one leading and directing me. And when that happens, the presence of God is with us. And that's why it says, for He is with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Now, you notice the valley is not the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death. You know what a shadow is? A shadow is an image without a substance. It's something that looks bigger and badder than it really is. And we've all seen shadows. Shadows begin to sensationalize what reality is, because shadows are not reality. And things look so much worse than they really are. And in the presence of God, we begin to gain perspective. And God begins to speak to us and to teach us. You know what the most oft-repeated command from the lips of Jesus was throughout the New Testament? Jesus said a lot of stuff. He had a lot of great teachings. It's not tithe, although we need to tithe. It's not love one another, although we need to love one another, and Jesus certainly said that. You know what Jesus said more than all that stuff? He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Over and over and over again, Jesus told the disciples, don't be afraid. And did you know in the Bible, 365 times throughout the Old and New Testament, the Scripture says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. See, that's one for every day of the year. We need to be reminded of that, don't we? God doesn't want us to live in fear, and it's the presence of God. It's Him living in our lives and strengthening us that allows us to keep moving and to keep going. I love Isaiah 43:2. The Message says it this way. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Did you know that sheep are better off in the valley with the shepherd than on the top of a mountain all alone? How much better would it be to be in the valley with the shepherd than to be all alone at the mountaintop? You know what God says? He says, man, you're not going to drown. You're not going to burn. You're not going to die. You have nothing to fear. Man, the presence of God is near. We need to keep going today. We need to keep moving. We need to begin to live in faith and confidence in Him. Now, verse 4 goes on and it says, your rod and your staff comfort me. In other words, be assured of the Lord's protection. And the shepherd's role was to provide for the sheep. In fact, every shepherd, when they graduated from shepherding you, and they got that BS, a Bachelor of Shepherding, the first thing that they would do is they would make a rod. And the rod would oftentimes be a small tree that would be cut down, and then the ball on the end of that tree where the roots connected would be cut away, and the shepherd would whittle that down and kind of make a little handle, and he would carve it out until it was a smooth weapon. And in the ancient world, shepherds would often take sharp rocks and pieces of glass and metal, and they would drive it into the end of the rod so that the rod could be the weapon to go after any animal or any person that would try to harm the flock. So if a wolf came up or a snake or a bear, any other type of animal, the shepherd had protection. And you know, every time the sheep saw the rod, they knew that they were safe. The shepherd also had a staff. Not just a rod, but a staff. And in biblical times, a branch would be taken, it would be dipped in water, and then the shepherd would tie it into place so that there would be a hook at the end of it. And we've all seen a shepherd's hook. It's a powerful tool that the shepherd uses. When the wood is dried, it forms a beautiful hook that can rest up under the belly or the neck of a sheep. And the shepherd would use the staff for guidance, and he would use the rod for protection. So one was to guard and one was to guide. Now that's why the Bible says, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. And this word comfort is really a word that means strengthen. You know, the rod and the staff strengthen us. When we remember that God, the Good Shepherd, is the one that protects us and the one that guides us, then it brings comfort and strength to us to continue to go on. So we have to remember the rod and the staff. Listen, every time you begin to think about your phobias and your fears and the darkness that you're walking through, listen, remember the rod and the staff. The rod and the staff. The rod is the power of God. That's the power of the shepherd. The staff is the guidance. It's the correction. So if a sheep stepped off into a ravine, got off the path a little bit, the shepherd could take the hook, the staff, and he could fish the sheep out. The sheep got stuck in a thicket. He could use the staff to free the sheep from that bush. It was constantly protecting and guiding the sheep with each one of these instruments. And in doing so, it brings strength. Now, here's the thing, man. God is not just one or the other. Sometimes we think God's just powerful, but we forget about His grace and His guidance. We think about the rod, but not the staff. Listen, if your image of God is only the power, the rod, then you'll be afraid of God. If your image of God is only staff, guidance, grace, redirection, without power, then you'll have a warped view of God as well. God is both. He is both the rod and the staff. And when we begin to see God as the protector and the power source and the guider and the restorer, then we begin to walk in faith and not in fear. So the rod and the staff, they bring great comfort to us. They bring strength. They bring vitality. Now, there's nothing more powerful to a sheep than the sight of the rod or the staff, because they knew that the rod would guard them and that the staff would guide them. And with the rod, he would protect them, and with the staff, he would direct them. And the sheep knew that. That's why the 18th Psalm says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my Savior, my God, my rock, with whom I take refuge, my shield, my strength, my salvation, my stronghold. And notice the Bible doesn't say that we will never face evil. The Bible never says we won't walk in darkness. It says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I will fear no evil. Here's the promise of the Bible. Not that we won't have adversity. Not that we won't have difficulty. But listen, when we do, we can walk in faith, not in fear. And we can face whatever problems that we may have before us, we can do so with confidence, because we have the presence of God, we have the constant reminder of the staff and the rod, God's grace and God's guidance and God's power, and then the presence of God is with us so that we can begin to walk in faith rather than in fear. Fear is ultimately this loss of control. And we live with the illusion that we can be in control. But what we really need is the presence of God to give us the strength to keep moving and to keep going no matter what darkness is before us. We never get to the mountaintops without going through the valleys. And when we're in the valley, God's presence is the thing that's going to take our faith to the next level. So let's continue to walk with the shepherd. Let's just bow for a word of prayer for a moment. And we could just have a time where our heads are bowed and, you know, just our eyes are closed for just a minute and nobody's moving around for a moment. I mentioned earlier that I wanted to give you an opportunity to join God's flock, God's family. Maybe you've been hearing these messages about the shepherd and about God, and today you want to embrace Him as the leader and the Lord of your life. You want to join God's team. You want to join God's family. The Bible says this, that we need to understand that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose from the grave in order that our sins could be forgiven. And the Bible tells us that by faith, we can receive forgiveness and that we can join God's family, God's team, God's flock, if you will. And I'd like to just give you an opportunity to make that faith commitment today. Would you just pray that in the quietness of this room, right where you are? Would you just say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I'm putting my faith in Christ and what He did at the cross. I'm putting my faith in Christ and what He did at the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And now, Lord, help me to walk with the shepherd each day. And we pray all of these things in the wonderful name of our Savior and Lord. Amen.